Johnson, introduce her to address our closing stakeholder session. The first female Secretary of the Interior, Gail Norton, is an advocate for what she calls the four C's: consultation, communication, and cooperation, all in the service of conservation. At the heart of the four C's is the belief that for conservation to succeed, the government must involve the people who live and work on the land. And we appreciate that, Madam Secretary. From 1991 to 1999, she served as Colorado's Attorney General, representing virtually every state government agency and arguing cases before a number of appellate courts, including the U.S. Supreme Court. Prior to that, she served as Associate Solicitor at Interior, overseeing endangered species and public lands legal issues for the National Park Service and the Fish and Wildlife Service of Washington, D.C. She also worked as Assistant to the Deputy Secretary of Agriculture. Secretary Norton is a lifelong public servant and a staunch supporter of common sense solutions to environmental policy, and we welcome her today. Secretary Norton.
So much. It is especially wonderful for me to be able to attend your convention on a day when you're giving out the Environmental Stewardship Awards. Those are very inspiring, and there sure are some people I wish would see the enthusiasm in this room for those awards. This is definitely not the first of your conventions that I have attended. A number of years ago, I used to do some legal work for the National Cattlemen's Association when I was with Mountain States Legal Foundation. And I remember attending a Cattlemen's Association convention when it was in San Antonio quite a few years ago. And I was on an airplane going down there on the airline with a number of people from the, at that time, NCA on board the plane. And it was a fairly routine flight, and I came around and served the drinks and lunch and so forth. And as we were approaching our destination, the pilot came on the intercom and said, "We really want to thank the Cattlemen's Association for being with us today. Thank you for patronizing our airline." And a voice from the back of the plane said, "If you knew we were on board, why'd you serve us chicken?" Having done work for the Cattlemen's Association, having run for elected office, I have to say that one of the campaign dirty tricks that one of my opponents pulled one time ranks pretty high up there as one of the worst ones. And I won't say which opponent it was, but their staff spread a rumor throughout the country areas of Colorado that I was a vegetarian. I want to tell you that is not true. My work with ranchers, it goes back to my very first case as an attorney. I represented some family cattle ranchers in New Mexico whose grazing allotments were being cut back by the Bureau of Land Management. I came to understand at that time what it's like to be on the receiving end of regulation. And that is a message that has stuck with me throughout my career. And I also came to understand that sometimes the government is not the friend of the rancher. Well, our administration is working to change that perception, developing policies and partnerships that make cooperation a reality. We're not always perfect. It takes time to change a bureaucracy. Our cooperation starts at the top, with our Commander-in-Chief, President Bush. The president works his ranch by hand, clearing brush and working to maintain healthy ranch land. I've heard several times that his speech to the cattlemen was one of the highlights of his groups that he has met with. He knows the people who live on the land love their land and know more about how to manage that land than anybody in Washington, D.C. The president knows that too often family ranches are forced onto the auction block to pay the Internal Revenue Service. That's why he fought for and signed a bill to phase out the death tax. Under the leadership of President Bush, no farm or ranch family will have to visit the undertaker and the IRS on the same day. My Department of the Interior is responsible for a vast area of land, about one out of every 5 acres of land in this country. If you put all of our lands together, it would be as much as the entire eastern time zone of our country. Managing that land is a lot of work, and we need all the help that we can get. That's one reason this administration supports public land grazing. Ranchers have become our partners in managing the public lands. It's good for the land, good for the economy, and good for wildlife. Public land grazing is good for America. Our department is committed to working one-on-one in partnership with you. We showed our commitment on Thursday when Bureau of Land Management Director Kathleen Clark came here to talk to the Federal Lands Committee. She asked how we can improve grazing policies on public lands. We showed our commitment on Friday when Fish and Wildlife Service Director Steve Williams came here to Nashville to talk to the Property Rights and Environmental Management Committee. He talked about the importance of working cooperatively with ranchers on endangered species issues. I'm emphasizing our commitment to each of you today by talking about what we can do to work together and achieve a healthy environment and a productive beef industry. Before we get into interior business, though, let me take just a minute and talk to you as a member of the President's Cabinet. We're all saddened this morning when we heard about the Shuttle Columbia disaster. Later this year, we will celebrate the 100th anniversary of the Wright brothers' first flight at Kitty Hawk. It's amazing how far we've come in just 100 years. But there are reminders like today that being a pioneer on the frontier of flight still has its risks. Today's tragedy is also a reminder in another way of the new world that we live in. The first question we all asked when this horror struck was whether it was because of an act of terror. My responsibilities include protecting our nation's national patriotic icons, like the Statue of Liberty, the Washington Monument, the Lincoln Memorial, as well as our Bureau of Reclamation dams, Grand Coulee, Hoover Dam, Shasta. Through the new Department of Homeland Security, America's ability to defend itself will be strengthened. But as the President has said, we must meet the terrorists on their own turf. We want to have peace. There are those who hate us for our freedom. We're a free society by its very nature. You can never have enough security and enough restrictions to stifle every terrorist threat. It's only by going to the sources of terrorism that we can ever hope to restore the peace of mind that we once enjoyed. To return to the Department of Interior business, our Bureau of Land Management will be seeking formal input on ways to improve its management of the public rangelands. The BLM will be exploring new opportunities for resource managers, ranchers, and conservation groups to work in partnership to promote conservation and healthier grazing allotments. They will look at ways for ranchers to help ranchers meet requirements to protect threatened and endangered species. To be successful, we need involvement from public lands rangers and all stakeholders, to help develop real reforms. And I urge each of you to provide the BLM with ideas. Across the board, we're tackling invasive species, which steal precious nutrients from the soil and damage grazing lands. In the Great Basin, cheatgrass makes millions of acres more prone to wildfire. Grazing rotation practices can help keep these invasives under control. In New Mexico, we're eradicating salt cedar, which can rob precious water from western rivers. There's no greater challenge facing our department, and in many ways your businesses, than having a predictable and healthy water supply. Water is essential, but drought has forced too many ranchers to sell off major portions of their cow-calf herds. To meet our water demands, our proposed budget for 2004 will ask for a new $11 million fund for forward-thinking water initiatives. It will fund pilot projects to help prevent crisis-level water conflicts, especially in the West. Water is potentially the most serious resource problem for the 21st century, and this is a start on finding solutions we need for the long term. These and other projects will help communities and ranchers who are struggling to deal with increased water demands, drought, and compliance with the Endangered Species Act. Some of you didn't just suffer from drought. Some also suffered from fires caused by extreme drought conditions across our forests and rangelands. Rangeland fires may not be as dramatic as the forest fires, but they can cause serious damage. Last summer, forest and rangeland fires devastated communities. They destroyed sensitive wildlife habitat and severely damaged soils and watersheds for decades to come. That's why our administration has proposed the Healthy Forest Initiative. It will focus aggressively on leaving a legacy of healthier lands and thriving communities. We understand that those of you who work on and love your land want to keep its history alive, care for those lands, as you help feed our communities around the world. As a Westerner who loves the outdoors, I cherish our nation's natural beauty and the well-being of our land. And you certainly don't need a lesson from me on environmental stewardship. Since 1981, the awards that are given today have been given by this organization. We've had many outstanding examples of how we can all work together. Your awards program recognizes that good management demands that you care for the environment. You know that good environmental stewardship and good business go hand in hand. I'm continually aware of the impact that my department's programs have on the lives of America's ranchers. How we manage our lands, wildlife, and other resources today will determine the America that future generations will inherit. The day I leave office, I want to know that I helped build an America with a healthier environment and a more secure economy. To achieve this, we need to initiate a new era of conservation, what I call a new environmentalism. At the heart of this ethic is a call for each citizen to become a citizen steward. Unfortunately, environmentalism in the past 3 decades has featured conflict more often than consensus. Environmental discussions triggered passionate antagonism, outright hostility. In political and media debates, environmentalists and businesses exaggerated their differences and demonized their opponents. In many cases, an atmosphere of conflict has hurt the natural resources that we're trying to protect. Let me give you an example: the Endangered Species Act and prairie dogs. Now, I am no stranger to prairie dogs. In fact, they were within 100 yards of my home in Colorado. I've met with ranchers in South Dakota to discuss that issue one day, and there I found out that the sale of poisons for prairie dogs had doubled in the year after the prairie dogs were proposed for endangered species listing. Well, you have to wonder if a regulatory program is achieving its goals when that's the result. There are certainly better ways of doing things. That's why we need a new environmentalism. based on, as wife mentioned, what I call the four C's: communication, consultation, and cooperation, all in the service of conservation. It means we live and we involve the people who understand their needs. Unfortunately, we're already seeing success stories. People are realizing that conservation does not happen in a vacuum. Rather than dictate to people how the land must be used, we need to work with them to determine how using the land can be compatible with conservation. Americans have great ingenuity. We need to tap into their creativity and their innovation to find practical ways that really work. Likewise, new environmentalism is about meeting our nation's need for a vibrant economy. There are those who say that we cannot have a strong economy and a healthy environment. I know we can, and we must. New environmentalism captures a vision of a nation of citizen conservationists. Successful conservation can be a partnership between government and the people. The government's role is to empower people to take conservation into their own hands. This is the path toward new environmentalism, a path away from conflict and toward consensus building. This is the path that this administration has begun and will continue. We understand the challenges that you face. As Senator Burns from Montana likes to say, farmers and ranchers buy their products at retail and sell their products at wholesale and pay the freight in both directions. We understand that the most stressful part of your business is sitting around the kitchen table, figuring out the expenses and trying to find a margin of profit. With new environmentalism, we will continue to find consensus and common ground so ranchers can earn a good living and can turn their businesses over to sons and daughters who want to continue the family legacy. When we return to the prairie dog example, we've begun a process now of building partnerships, in this case with the states. We need to have strong science as a basis for our decisions. When we were first faced with the decision whether to list prairie dogs several years ago, you had scientific studies from those who said that there were very few prairie dogs. And you had lots of farmers and ranchers who said, wait a minute, come look at my land, there are lots of them. But there were no scientific studies to back that up. But in working in partnership with the states, they're now going out and doing their own counts. In Colorado, for example, has found many times as many prairie dogs as the first scientific studies say. For other species, the answer is not just finding more, but working cooperatively to restore the species. Instead of the punitive approach that comes about in many ways under the Endangered Species Program, we want to reward people for making habitats more productive. We have something called the Landowner Incentive Program that helps fund on-ground improvements that will improve habitat for endangered species. And that's something that each of you can participate in through your states. We also want to look at other programs and strengthening other programs. For example, in the budget for our department that will be announced on Monday, we're continuing the trend toward more partnership approaches. The Partners for Fish and Wildlife Program, for example, can be used to restore riverfronts or wildlife habitats. It's exactly the kinds of things that the Kelly Ranch is doing. We want to work in that sort of partnership. I know that my good friend Ann Veneman has probably spoken with you when she was here the other day about the conservation provisions in the Farm Bill. Those are another important way of building partnerships for conservation. As your next generation becomes involved in new environmentalism, we will have a healthier land, watched over by self-motivated citizen stewards. We will spend more time tending the land and less time jousting with sound bites and hyperbole. We are a nation founded on the idea that we can and must work together. We saw this in the aftermath of September 11th, in the long lines of blood banks, and millions of dollars donated to victims and to families. We must apply the same sense of urgency to develop new environmentalism, ensuring that our children and grandchildren will inherit a nation as beautiful and strong as the one we inherited. We want to preserve the working landscapes of this country because farmers and ranchers are our best stewards. General Patton once said, "Never tell people how to do things. Tell them what to do, and they will surprise you with their ingenuity." If we challenge each other, we will create a new generation of citizen conservationists, people who know the land, love the land, and take care of the land in the greatest tradition of our nation. Working together, we will get things done. Thank you.